Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm Megs.
I'm Hannah.
And we have another episode on frogging.
You know what? I've been thinking about this so much.
Have you?
I have.
Okay, good. Me too.
Yeah, so like, Isaac wasn't here the other night because he was off painting, and I was standing at the top of our stairs, and I was like, oh my god. What if there's somebody up there?
Yeah, up in the attic.
Like, it's been on my brain quite a lot. And then I had a dream about it. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm so excited to hear another one.
Yay!
I mean, I am, but I'm not.
Right, right.
Because it freaks me out, but I do like these ones, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they're, like, interesting, but they're really, really scary.
They are.
So... here we go. all right. So for this one, I watched Frogging Hider in My House Season 1, Episode 2 on Hulu.
I don't even like that name.
No?
No. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Hider in My House.
Yeah.
No. No, thank you. Amber Dawn was a single woman working several jobs and going to school. She moved to a small little mountain town in Enumclaw, Washington. In September 1995, she moved into her apartment. She spent the day unpacking, and her apartment, as you can imagine, is in complete disarray. Things are everywhere. She turned off the music and went to bed. While she was lying in bed, she could hear footsteps above her in the ceiling. She noticed there was a crawl space door that pushes up into the ceiling of her room, so it's an attic door. She was on the top floor, so there shouldn't be anyone above her. And she thought, okay, maybe she was hearing a neighbor, an animal, the wind. Like, she had just moved in. She wasn't really used to all the noises in her new place yet.
I would have immediately thought it was haunted every time.
Yeah,
that's where
yeah.
my brain goes.
No, I agree. I would have too. And definitely jumped to like worst case scenario here. But I get what she's saying. It's a new place. Maybe there are some sounds that come with it that are just normal.
Yeah, no, any new sounds are just a ghost.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. She woke up the next morning and decided to ask an apartment employee if anyone could be above her apartment. And they said no. She was probably hearing like maybe a squirrel or something.
It's a big fucking squirrel.
Yeah, footsteps. Yeah, it's a squirrel. I'm sure they can make a lot of noise though.
Yeah, but not footsteps.
No, you wouldn't think so. One day she left her apartment to go to the grocery store. And there was this man that was sitting behind the store. He stared at Amber for a long time. And she said that he looked at her longer than what is, like, socially acceptable.
Oh, I always wave at people when they do that to me.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, okay. I'm just like,
I'll either
okay,
wave
bye.
Or I just, like, throw out my hands and I'm like, the fuck you want? Like, I don't understand. Yeah.
Well, she said it was, like, really, really weird, but she just moved on and then didn't think that much of it. 3 days later, she went to the pet store because she had to get some food for her cats.
Wait, hold up for 2 seconds. Did I tell you that?
Huh?
Because it pertains to squirrels and pet food.
Oh. Wow, you came equipped because with a story?
I did, which is just a teensy-weensy one. No,
okay.
Just the other day. The other day, Shauna came over and they walk in our door and they're like, you know that your food outside is being eaten by squirrels?
What? I'm sorry, you didn't immediately text this to me?
Amazon dropped off ferret food.
Shut up.
And the squirrels got into it. And there was ferret food all over the fucking, like, patio.
That is so funny.
And the whole, like, Amazon package was torn to shreds. And it wasn't out there that long because, like, I had been out there right before they got here. So, like,
yeah.
I mean, they worked quick. But the whole bag, like, even the ferret food bag was, like, torn to shreds.
Oh, my God.
The squirrels had a great time with it.
I can't believe you didn't tell me about
this. No, I forgot about it.
Okay.
Until just now.
Well, hey, it ties in perfectly.
Yeah, no, I know, right?
Yeah. So she goes, you know, to the pet store to get food for her cats, and she came home with a puppy named Athena.
I hate it when that happens.
She was a really small puppy that needed to be potty trained, so she was kept in the bathroom with, like, food and water and toys at first. In December, while Amber was at work, she received a call from an apartment employee, and they were like, hey, there's water raining down on the downstairs neighbor.
No.
So there was a leak coming from her bathroom, and they said, you need to come home right now. They had already tried to go in the bathroom, but when they went to open the door, they could hear a dog inside. So they were like, well, we actually can't enter without you being here then.
Okay, what if it would have been the bathtub overflowing and they just left a dog in there?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to follow protocols.
Rude asses.
So when she got home, two employees were in the apartment and they were waiting to enter the bathroom. Amber opened the door and her tiny dog was sitting up in the sink. She asked the employees, did you put the dog in the sink? And they said, no, we didn't go in there. We heard the dog, so we were waiting on the other side of the door.
Okay, at least the person put the dog in the sink. That was nice of them.
Well, Athena was an 8-week-old puppy. Like, there was no way she could have got into the sink on her own.
Right, he was making sure she didn't get wet.
There you go.
That was so nice.
Well, Amber was left really confused by this, okay? Because she's like, how did my dog get into the sink? In January, when Amber arrived home, she saw that the window was closed, but she knew she left it open because that's how the cats access the litter box. This was not elaborated on, okay? So I was kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why do you need a window open for the cats to get to the litter box?
Right.
The only thing I can think is, like, maybe she lets them outside.
That's what I'm guessing.
And then they come back into the apartment through the window.
Yeah, like indoor-outdoor cats.
Yes. So I think that's what's happening here.
That would be my guess, unless she, like, thinks the litter box is outside. And it's just like the whole outside is a litter box. Just go out there and pee so I don't have to change it.
Yeah, that's a theory,
it's
I guess.
It's possible.
Maybe. So one of those.
Right.
Then her bedroom door was open, but she knew that she closed it. There were only 4 cans of pop in the fridge, and there should have been 5. The soup she was going to have for dinner was gone.
Oh, that would piss me right off.
Right? Because you're, like, thinking, this is what I'm having for dinner, like, and then it's not there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so mad.
Yeah. Amber was new to the area, and the only person that she knew there was her brother Eric, and he did have a key to her apartment. So she called Eric, and she was like, I actually want you to stop coming to my apartment and eating all of my food, and you also need to give me my key back. Eric was like, okay, crazy, I don't know what you're talking about. I have not been to your apartment when you're not there. 2 months later, food was still going missing, and doors were open when they should have been closed. Amber started marking the levels of her food and drinks, tracking everything. Like, if she drank milk, she marked the level on the container.
Yeah.
She wrote down how many cans of pop she had and tried to pay attention to everything.
This is something I would have actually, like, not, it would have taken me a while to catch on to something like that, to be honest. Aside from, like, the can of soup that she was thinking about all day, because, like, if there's 4 pops in the fridge and there should have been 5, I'd have been like, huh, must have drank it at some point. Like, I always just assume, because I'm ADHD is hell, so I'm like, oh, I probably just drank it and it's gone, and yeah. I miscounted. Sure. I would have written that off for quite a while.
Well, and I think it's different too because you have more than one person living in your home.
That's true, but even if it was just me, I would still do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Like 100%. I drink like an A shock every single morning, and yeah. I know there's some in the fridge, but I could not tell you how many there are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually am more on the side of, like, I know how many I have of things, and I would notice if something was weird.
No.
Like, if something disappeared that should have been there, I would know.
There'd be like lower cereal and I'd be like, wow, I must have gotten hungry in the middle of the night. I don't know.
Okay. Well, one day she called in sick to work and she was lying on the couch watching TV when she heard a loud thump in her bedroom. She blamed the cats.
I was going to say, did she think it was a cat? Yeah. Because that's what I would have thought.
Yeah, me too.
Cat or a ghost.
They do make a lot of noise.
They do.
That night, she lit a candle and got in the tub. It was dark, relaxing, and she tilts her head back, and that's when she saw it.
No.
The crawl space door in the ceiling was open.
Oh! So it's in the bathroom?
I think it was, like, more towards the hallway.
Oh, ew.
So she's in the bathroom and realizes, ruh-roh.
Why does it always have to be the bathroom? Why do people always have to be in there when they realize things?
I know. Ah! It's like a horror movie.
I hate it.
And so she's like, okay, what do I do? Like, she didn't want to alert the person by screaming or calling the police because, like, what if they harmed her? And she didn't know exactly where they were in the apartment at that moment, but she knew someone was. She had to get out of the tub, naked and vulnerable.
Right.
She tried to stay really calm, but her robe was in her bedroom, and she would have to reach into the closet where she just heard somebody. Like, a person could be on the other side. So she put her robe on, grabbed a hammer, and called her brother. Her sister-in-law answered, and Amber told her somebody was in her apartment. Amber grabbed the dog and headed outside in her robe. There was no mention of her grabbing the cats.
Damn it, you knew where I was going. I did. I was already thinking that.
Yeah. So, again, assuming that these are outdoor-indoor cats, and maybe the cats were already outside, I don't know. Her sister-in-law showed up, and they called the police. They searched and found the crawl space open, but nobody was there. But there was food, a book, and a sleeping bag up there. Amber never found out who was in the attic of her apartment.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So they must have heard, like, her being like, there's somebody in here. And yes. They were like,
And dipped. Yeah. Nothing had been stolen. There was no signs of a break-in. And she hadn't been hurt. So there was actually nothing the police could really do about this.
And yeah, I love that she called other people before the police.
I know. Isn't that interesting? She's
like, come on over. There's somebody in my apartment. Mm-hmm. Just head on over here. It's fine.
But, I mean, in our last episode, when there was a man in the closet.
I know.
She did the same thing.
I know.
Instead of calling the police. But it's interesting because they both had the same reasoning. Like, what if he harms me because I called the police?
But that's why you call and just leave the line open.
Yeah.
You just leave the dang line open, turn the volume down, and
or just, at least try to exit
the
apartment before calling. I don't know. But either way, you never know how you're going to handle these situations when you're in them.
That's true.
And so she always wondered, like, if the man with that lingering stare from the grocery store was the person that had been in her attic. As much as she adored her apartment, she decided she could not stay there. So she moved out and, you know, just never found out who was living in her apartment watching her for 6 months.
Do you remember when I moved in here, how mad mom was because there's that little crawl space we have that is in our bedroom. And the first thing I did was opened it up and was like, is there anybody in here? And mom was like, you're not funny. There's not going to be anybody in there. And I was like, there could freaking be.
Okay.
And like constantly check it. I literally checked that crawl space every single day.
You guys, Hannah in her new place literally has this tiny door inside of her closet.
It looks like a door from like Willy Wonka.
Yes, like there is a tiny, tiny door. And you open it up and there's a whole crawl space that goes into a storage area where it's like the water softener, right?
Yeah.
Or the water heater.
Both.
Yeah. So that stuff is inside of there. But it's just like really weird to have this tiny crawl space. Her cat loves it.
And he truthfully loves it. I mean, I shut that door every night. because even though I know nobody's in there, I'm still going to shut it.
Yeah.
And so I shut it every night. And then he sits by it every single morning and makes me open it because he wants to go play in there.
Like, it's really cool, but it's spooky.
Yeah, it's probably his, it's just like, it's like a perfect area for a cat, really. Yeah. So he absolutely loves it, but I'm not so much of a fan, but I do check it every single day just to make sure.
Right.
And when we were even looking at the house, that's the first thing I did. I was like, we're making sure nobody lives in here. So, I mean, it is a little weird, though.
Yeah.
It was crazy because we didn't even know it existed until we, like, already put an offer on the house because she had it, like, covered by her clothes. It was, like, 100% covered. We had no idea it was there until the closet was empty. So, it was a surprise to all of us. Not that I'm mad about it because it's, like, a storage area, but it was very surprising. And I was convinced for like the first month that somebody lived in there, even though I knew they didn't.
No, I told mom a lot of things about that crawl space too.
When she got so mad at me, I was like, listen, it happens,
it can happen. She can listen to this and find out.
There you go. She'd be so mad at both of us if she listened to this one.
That's true. All right, so for our second story, somehow this one has been reported with the wrong names. Maybe they were intentionally changed because when it happened, there were minors involved.
Ah.
Their real names were used in the show, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, I feel like it's okay, you know, because they're not trying to hide their names. I don't really know where the wrong name thing started. But in a lot of the articles, the girls are Annie and Jessica Andrews, but they're actually Tina and Karen Bowen.
Okay.
So, I mean, with that, since they're so different, they were obviously very intentionally changed for some reason.
Well, maybe they were minors then and not now.
Yeah, they're not now. They are adults now.
Yeah, so maybe that's what was happening.
Yeah. The Bowen family lived in a split-level ranch home in Pepperell, Massachusetts. And in 1986, Tina Bowen was 14 and her sister Karen was 8.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. Their mother passed away and their father worked quite a distance from the house. So the two girls were home alone all the time.
No, I hate that.
Yeah, especially because they're so young.
I get it, but I hate it.
Mm-hmm. And I do think in probably 1986, this would have been more socially acceptable,
probably,
too.
Probably, yeah.
You know, things have changed over the years. So since they were home alone all the time, the father decided that the solution to this problem was to allow Tina's best friend to move in with them because her family was going to move out of state and she wanted to finish high school in Massachusetts. One night, Tina and her friend Kathy decided to do a séance.
Oh boy.
They were trying to contact Tina's mom. So they were saying, "Mom, are you there?"
Fucking A.
And suddenly, the cover to the electrical panel flew off. And they immediately stopped the seance. But it was right after that seance when things started getting really weird. And I'm sure at first you could think like, okay, maybe we didn't close things properly.
At first, I've literally been telling you this whole time that anything I heard I would have thought was a ghost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, timing-wise with this one, you know, because they did a seance.
100,000%. There's no doubt in my mind that I would have immediately been like, oh, God, I invited things and I didn't mean to.
Yeah. And so, you know, one day they get up and rakes, shovels, and the lawn chairs were all scattered all over the backyard.
Poltergeist.
And the girls told their dad, and he was like, you guys, one of the neighbors is probably playing a joke on you. So he told them, go clean it up. Just put everything away. It's fine. That's
really helpful.
Yeah. Then the doorbell rang and no one was there. The girls were like, it's a ghost.
Right.
Or, you know, they thought maybe their father was right. Somebody was messing with them, but they were definitely leaning towards the ghost. 3 days later, there was a thunderstorm. It was nighttime and the lightning lit up the front bay windows. Karen and Kathy started screaming. Their mother was in the dining room. They saw they saw a shadow of a person in the lightning. Okay.
I'm freaking out. I hate this.
Yeah. One evening, the girls were on the phone talking to boys, and they heard a knock on their bedroom window. But it sounded like a large rock had been thrown. It was 2 a.m. They were terrified. So they called the police, but the police didn't find anybody. Then they started questioning them, like, where are your parents at 2 a.m.? When their dad got home, he was like, girls, you cannot call the police. You're not supposed to be home alone. So people believed that Tina was making things up and acting out because she was struggling with her mom's death. Maybe she needed counseling. The girls were scared, though. They started barricading their doors at night, and then the three of them would move around the house together. Like, if one had to go to another room of the house, they all had to go. Tina started sleeping with a knife under her pillow. When Tina was on the phone one night, they heard banging on the wall. Kathy grabbed a plastic bat, and the two of them kicked open the laundry room door, which led to a cellar, but nothing was there. This kind of stuff went on for 6 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which would be so terrifying. Like, just having that going on and on. Tina was getting ready to go out one night. And so she was doing her makeup, and then a rock was hurled at the bathroom window, and it cracked the window pane. Her dad was actually home at this time, so Tina ran to his room to tell him what happened. She tried to use the phone, but the line was dead.
No, that's why I like cell phones.
The lines had been cut and burnt.
Yeah, that's why I like cell phones, right there. Right there.
Yeah.
It's because they cannot cut the stupid freaking line.
Mm-hmm. The dad went outside and he found bags of candy and a BB gun. This was the first time he had actually witnessed anything. He reported the incident and got the phone lines repaired. And all activity stopped for a bit. In December, Karen was sick, so Tina had to stay home and take care of her. They were lying on their dad's bed watching TV, and the radio in the kitchen turned on. Then the cabinets started opening and closing. Tina was so scared, so she called her dad at work, and she was like, "Dad, someone is in the house." He told her, "Calm down, no one is there. We are having a talk when I get home." Karen was sick, so she had been sleeping through all of this, and when she woke up, she was like, "I'm going to go to the kitchen and get a snack." So she gets down there and she yells that she cannot find the cupcakes or the orange juice, and it should have been there because they just went shopping. But weird combo, cupcakes and orange juice.
I was literally just thinking that. I was like, who in the hell?
Like, that sounds really gross.
Why would you eat a cupcake and drink orange juice with it?
That's pretty nasty.
I mean, unless it was a situation where they were like, "Oh, I went down for the cupcake and then I couldn't find the cupcake. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just drink some orange juice because vitamin C."
Yeah.
That's different. But like, that combo, please do not do that. No.
It just sounds really nasty. But Tina tried to calm her sister down, so she lied to her. She was like, "Oh, Kathy took them to school for lunch. She took cupcakes and orange juice."
God.
So she was like, "Let's just have something else." Later that night, Tina was getting ready for work, and she heard Karen singing, "I found them, I found them. Kathy didn't take them to school. They're right here." The box of cupcakes with empty wrappers was sitting out. Tina grabbed her sister, and she ran out of the house. They waited until their dad got off work to go back home, and they all went in together. When they entered, all the lights were on in the house. The girls left during the day. They didn't have any lights on.
Right.
All the TVs and radios were on. They were turned on to the same station, and they were blasting. The dad started going room to room, starting with the basement first. He would search the area, then turn off the radios and TVs. He opened the closet in the bedroom and he says, "Excuse me, I'll just let you be." And he shut the door.
Huh. What?
Then he starts yelling, "Girls, get your asses over here now." The man in the closet had spiky hair, wore paint on his face. He was wearing a fur coat and he had a hatchet. The dad has 3 young girls and he wanted everyone to like remain calm. How right. do you keep 3 young girls calm?
Right.
So he starts shouting, "It's okay. This is a homeless person looking for food. It's okay. We're all going to the last room on the left." He had his hands up in the air and he's slowly backing down the hallway. He gets the girls and they all go into the bedroom and lock the door. The phone on the wall was gone and the light was gone as well. Tina was only 14 and she just jumped out the window and starts running through the woods to the neighbor's house.
Okay, smart child.
Smart and ballsy.
Yeah.
Holy shnikes. So the neighbor opens the door and Tina's shouting, "There's a guy in the house and he has an axe. He's got the whole family." They called the police and they kept Tina there. So she has no way of knowing if her family is still alive while right. she's at the neighbor's house. The police surrounded the house and they were hiding in the woods. An officer got to the window where the family was and he got everybody out. As a quick side note, because I don't want everyone to be like, "Wow, her dad's a fucking asshole," he did apologize to Tina for not believing that somebody was in the house.
Well, I mean, they're kids. It's hard.
They are.
Kids can make up a lot of weird things.
And especially when her mom just died. Like, right. that's really tragic and hard to deal with. So, yeah, you could maybe assume that she's making things up.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking of that because yeah. I was more freaked out about the fact that this really does sound like a haunting. And yeah. so now if there's a haunting, I have to worry about a fucking person being involved too.
Sorry
and not
about
just
it.
A dead one.
Right.
Ugh.
Correct. Investigators searched the home and the woods repeatedly, but nothing turned up. They couldn't find the man who had been in the closet. The hatchet was outside the rear door on the ground, so they figured that he dropped it when he fled. Just to be safe, though, they advised the family, "You should probably stay somewhere else for the night." The next day, the dad called the police, and he said that they needed to get into the house to grab some items, but they wanted a police escort. When they arrived, the girls saw somebody waving at them from the second floor bedroom window.
No.
The officer entered the house and there was a picture or a sign that was hanging on the wall and it had a knife stuck through it.
Oh, God.
And it said, "I'm still here. Come find me."
Ew! Ew!
Yeah,
no!
I know. I was like, what are you doing?
Ew!
As the officer is heading up the stairs, he found another sign with a knife through it and it said, "I'm going to kill you all."
Ew! Oh my God, I hate this.
Like, thank goodness they asked for a police escort here and didn't just go home on their own. The police had been with the family when they left and locked the house the previous night. So that means they locked the house with the guy inside. Investigators searched the whole house and determined he was not there. But that didn't make any sense. So they were like, okay. We're going to do another full sweep. One of the officers went into the laundry room. Part of the wall was designed to hide pipes. But when that was done, they never brought the wall all the way over to meet the other wall.
Oh, God.
So there was a 7 to 8 inch space between the walls, which is really small. I mean, truly. They shined a flashlight inside, and there was a 3.5 to 4 foot pile of dirty clothes inside, and the man was in the wall. When they got him out, Tina realized she knew this person.
Oh, I had a feeling. I don't know why.
Did you?
I did. I don't know why. I just had this really weird feeling. Ugh. Okay.
So she had, you know, she was kind of boy crazy at this age. And she had been talking to a lot of people on the phone and someone gave her number to another boy, and then he called her. So his name was Danny LaPlante. They had flirted and talked on the phone, but he showed up at an eighth grade school event, and Tina realized she wasn't attracted to him. For 6 months, this guy had been in and out of their home, eating their food, banging on their walls and windows.
And listening to her talk to other boys.
Yes. Now, oh my God. Okay, so electrical outlets on the wall, like ones that you plug things into.
Yeah.
Okay. In Tina's room, they had been cut out.
No.
So he could remove the outlets and look at her.
Ew.
It's so fucking twisted and scary. Daniel was charged with breaking and entering, kidnapping, and threatening bodily harm. He was held for 9.5 months, but his mom was able to come up with the $10,000 bail, so he was released in October 1987.
Okay, where the fuck was his mom when he was living in somebody else's house?
That's the confusing part, too, here. I don't know how on earth somebody of this age would have been able to be living inside someone else's home in their walls. So, now, Daniel LaPlante lived with his mother and stepfather. He grew up in Townsend and was sexually and psychologically abused by several adults. This would include his father, stepfather, and psychiatrist.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
That is...
And his father was the main abuser. Daniel struggled in school and was eventually diagnosed with dyslexia. Some of his classmates described him as creepy or weird. As a teenager, he was referred to a psychiatrist where he was diagnosed with hyperactivity disorder due to his abnormal behavior, appearance, and lack of hygiene. After he was caught frogging in the Bowens home, he was held for 9.5 months. But like I mentioned, his mom paid his bail, so he was released in October 1987. Just to let you know, this is going to take a really dark turn here.
Oh, God. Okay.
On December...
I mean, it already had a dark turn, yeah, but okay.
He moves way past just being in someone's home.
Yeah, here. I was worried about that.
So, on December 1st, 1987, Daniel LaPlante entered the Townsend home where Priscilla Gustafson lived. She was a school teacher, and she was pregnant. She was found...
Oh, shit.
She was found face down on her bed, and her pillows were covered in blood. Daniel had raped her and shot her multiple times at point-blank range. Then he drowned 5-year-old William in the bathtub.
Oh, my God.
And then waited in the house until 7-year-old Abigail got home from school.
No!
And he drowned her in a separate bathtub. There's a Lifetime film, which I did not watch, but it's called Boy in the Walls, and it's very loosely based on the story about Daniel hiding in the Bowens home. Daniel's attorneys are currently arguing that his sentence conflicts with the court rulings that say juveniles convicted of murder should be given an opportunity to re-engage with society.
He killed children.
Yes, and a pregnant woman.
Right.
I mean,
it's bad enough to kill somebody, but right. Like when you go after somebody like that and mm-hmm. kids, you know.
Yeah. He was 17 years old in 1987 when he murdered Priscilla, Abigail, and William, and he must serve 3 consecutive prison terms of 15 years before he's eligible for parole, which would mean he would be 62. A recent change in the state law allows juveniles convicted of murder to ask for parole after they've been behind bars for no more than 30 years. But the law is not retroactive, so it would not go back to the time when he was convicted. Judges can order consecutive prison terms that extend parole eligibility beyond the limit, especially when there are multiple crimes committed. Daniel LaPlante did request early parole in 2017.
No, thank you.
But a judge gave him the maximum penalty of 45 years after a forensic psychiatrist evaluated him and found that he was not remorseful.
Right.
He will be eligible for parole in 2032. At the time of his conviction, the judge said that if Massachusetts had the death penalty, he would have personally pulled the switch.
Damn.
Yeah. So that is the end of the frogging information for you.
Thanks. I hated it.
Okay, cool. So now you can go have a bunch of nightmares about it.
Yeah, goody. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's also the end of an era. We are going to take some time off from the podcast for a bit. Right now, we're going to just say it's through the summer. I don't know exactly what time frame that's going to look like or when we will officially be back. But we will make announcements on that.
Yes, we will.
So just taking some time off for the summer. That is all. Do not freak out.
No freaking out.
Don't do it.
No.
But Hannah needs some time with the babes.
Yeah.
To get things sorted.
Right. He's definitely not an easy baby. Yeah, not easy.
He's a little crabby.
He is. But it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. So we'll be sure to make announcements and keep everybody informed. Everything's going to be fine. Enjoy your summer. I hope that it's super lovely.
Yes.
All right.
And we can't wait to talk to you again.
Yes. And I already have things that I've been writing, so we have to come back because otherwise that would be a huge waste.
Yes, it would.
All right. So make sure to follow us on any of your podcast apps. Tell us the stories you want to hear. Like us on Facebook, X, Instagram. Leave us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends. Tell your cats. Bye.